You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
You're listening to Geekcast Radio on geekcastradio.com.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio. This is a special episode. We already talked about Netflix and video stores and all that other happy stuff in episode 28, but since we talked about that, Netflix has finally, the people that actually work there, finally stepped up, took, you know, ownership of the shitstorm that they've put us users through in the last couple of months. So I am TFG and Mike, one of your hosts. Joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And he's been on Geekcast Radio before. You're mainly going to hear him from Toycast and all the other Transformers podcasts. Peek on Court. Michael, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. And we're basically doing this because of Michael had been talking on Twitter about all the Netflix changes and stuff like that, and the fact that they're actually responding to the users and the fans and all this and all that. So that's why we're here. So take it away.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Sure, okay. I'll take care of that for you. Basically, you know, the furor started a few months back when Netflix decided to raise their rates by 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And not really explain it to anybody. And they kind of couched it in such a way where they said, well, you know, we're not really charging you more. What we're doing is we're splitting up our services between DVDs and streaming. And previously, these two, you know, services were coupled together. And it's like you could get your DVDs, but you could also get unlimited streaming.
Right.
At the same time, for the same price.
Right.
And now they're saying, well, if you want DVDs and streaming, well, you can get both services, but you're going to pay significantly more. Now, my first thought was, you know, drop streaming, because my family doesn't so much use streaming. There's probably two videos online, or I should say, two videos on Netflix's online content there that are available. That we actually watch. I mean, there's the boys will watch for some reason Aiden loves this volcano documentary from National Geographic, and he'll watch this over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Gavin loves the 1967 Batman movie, which he will
1966.
Watch. Is it 66? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So 66. He'll watch that over and over and over again.
You should get them watching Phineas and Ferb. The entire series is on there.
I probably should, because they love that show too. But no, I mean, that this is the two shows that they watch. Now, you know, Christy and I are happy just to, you know, get the DVDs in. The DVD selection is bigger and includes more stuff that I want to watch, which is, you know, obscure Japanese horror movies and anime.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and there's there's just a lot more to see. I think of my queue, I have a Netflix queue of about 400, 350, 400, somewhere in there. It fluctuates, but 400 titles to send to my home as a DVD. Of those, I think maybe 100 are available for streaming.
Right.
So roughly one out of four. Now, if I drop the DVD service, that's a bunch of stuff I'm not going to be able to see. If I drop streaming, that's two movies that my kids won't be able to see. And maybe if I'm lucky, I can get those from Amazon.com for $10 each.
Right.
So I'm kind of like, huh, you know, seriously thinking about dropping streaming. But you know, of course we don't. You know, we're prepaid. You know, just I'll let the bill slide. Well, the problem that a lot of people had is that Netflix never explained themselves. They just did it. They said, "Haha, you're gonna pay it, suckers," and that was it. They didn't say, you know, this is the reason why we're doing this. And I understand from a business point of view that they have to make deals with, you know, Stars and TNT and HBO and whoever is the trademark owners or the copyright owners of the TV shows and the movies that they want to have streaming on demand. You know, they have to pay for the rights to do this. And I know just recently, like, they lost the rights just to put out any of the Stars content through streaming.
Right.
I think they just announced that they got, like, Discovery Channel or something like that.
DreamWorks is coming in 2013.
Yeah, so they're getting better. But what you have to remember is this costs money. Every time that they sign a deal with Discovery or DreamWorks or somebody, they're spending a lot of money to do this. And the fact is, this is a limited time contract. You may have a 5-year contract with Discovery Channel or a 2-year contract with DreamWorks. In those 2 years, if there's a let's say, you know, a million DreamWorks movies streamed, well, DreamWorks may say, hey, this looks pretty good. We might be able to get more money on the next contract renewal. Right. So then they might amend the contract. Say, hey, I want twice as much, or I want to write it into the contract where we get a 5% upkick every you know, 2 renewal cycles or something like that. They can write that in and then legally enforce it. It costs a lot of money. Netflix is going to have to raise their rates.
Yeah.
But they don't explain that. They never came out and said, oh, by the way, this is costing a butt ton of money, and we're going to have to pass that on to you. That nobody ever came out and said that. I mean, I understand it. That's how it works. But it would have been nice to, you know, say something. You're not going to ream us and not give us a reach around. You know, at least try to massage our egos a little bit so that we don't feel bad about the 30% more cash we're forking over every month.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so that's where we start. That's where this is where it all starts.
Actually, it was a 60% increase.
Well, I think they started off with a small increase, and then, well, it wasn't small, but they started off with an increase to the service. And then I think 3 to 6 months later, then they kicked it up another 30% and then announced that they were splitting the services.
Right.
So now you have to pay X amount for streaming and X amount for DVDs. And if you don't want streaming, you can cancel. If you don't want DVDs, you can cancel. But you know, screw you're going to pay the 30% extra either way.
Right. If you want, and I think this applies to new customers, not the existing, I'm not exactly sure, but I read online that if you want both services, the unlimited streaming and one DVD out at a time, the total cost to the consumer for both services is $15.98 a month, $7.99 for each service.
Right. Up from $9.99 back in the day.
Right.
Yeah, so basically, you know, for people who have been with Netflix for a long time, like me, you know, who like the service, who trust the service, all right, fine, we're going to pay a little extra money, despite the fact that we feel swindled and nobody explained why. You know, fast forward.
Swindle doesn't need to explain his deals.
Yeah, of course not. Fast forward another, well, unless you own stock in the company. Fast forward another 3 to 6 months, and the CEO of Netflix,
Reed Hastings,
there's his name. I was looking on the website here, and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't see it. So Reed Hastings comes out and says, all right, fine. You know, I realize that we should have been more upfront with you guys. We should have been telling you what was going on all along, and we apologize. We're going to make it better. And my first thought is, cool, they're going to drop prices 30% across the board. But that's not what happened. What happened is they say, here's what we're going to do to make things better. First thing we're going to do is we're going to completely decouple the DVD side, the DVD mail to your home side, and the streaming video side, we're going to completely cut them apart and make them their own businesses. Mm. And the name Netflix is going to go to the streaming side, whereas the DVD side is going to get a new name called Quickster, because it's hip as of about, you know, 5 years ago, the very early days of Net 2.0.
Well, because what also happened was Reed didn't just post this on the Netflix blog. I got an email. The exact same thing that the blog says, I got that in an email. And basically what it says is the reason why they're changing that to Quickster, why they chose that name was,
yeah,
because they want you to get your DVDs quick in the mail. They want you to get them quick in the mail. So that's why the name of Quickster.
You're killing me.
I know.
Killing me, Reed. Killing me. You know, and again, you know, don't insult my intelligence. So by the time you get to the end of this email or the end of the blog post or whatever, however you came upon it, within an hour of it being posted, I had seen it on Twitter retweeted like 50 times, and it was on Facebook, and everyone was like, oh my God, what's going on here? And my first thought was clearly this guy's trying to derail his company, you know, which makes no sense to me, because he has been working hard for 10 years to make Netflix what it is. And Netflix is like synonymous with getting movies in the mail. It's like when you say, I'm going to Google something, it's a verb that you use to describe it. You say, I'm going to Netflix this movie. At least I say that. I'm sure there are other people that say this as well, right?
I don't know.
All right. Back me up here, people. what it comes down to is when you start using the name of your company to describe as a verb to describe what you're doing with the movies, if you're going to say, I'm Netflixing a movie, you don't just change the name of your company. That is like the corporate kiss of death. You just don't rebrand anything. I worked at Playboy for several years, and you know, they're all about the brand. They have a brand that's been around for, you know, 50, 60 years. They don't mess with it. If you try to mess with it, they have a fleet of lawyers that come down on your head with cease and desist letters and saying, we will sue you back into the Stone Age. You don't mess with the brand name. Same with Netflix. You know, it's important to hold on to this name. We're going to keep it. We're going to, you know, ride this into the next century. You don't mess with the brand name. And here's what he's doing. He's saying, all right, I'm going to take my core business model. This is what's been making us money for the last 10 years. I'm taking this business model and I'm going to piss all over it by giving it some stupid ass name. Quickster. What the hell? And you know, basically renaming it, rebranding it into something that nobody's going to remember tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Quickster a movie. That makes no sense to me. It's just it's harmful to my ears to say this. I mean, they could have said, God, this, it just sounds so dumb. It's like Friendster. Whatever happened to Friendster? What was Friendster? I mean, is that like, sharing friends over streaming, or I don't know.
I was never a part of Friendster, so I have no clue what Friendster is. I've heard of it, but I don't.
It died. So
yeah,
naming
yeah,
your,
it died a horrible death.
Yeah. So naming your business after something that's died doesn't make a whole lot of sense, unless you know it's like a dead relative and you're trying to pay homage or something. Mm-hmm. Regardless, what it comes down to is, to me, it looks like he's trying to kill his business and offend me, you know, personally. So it was hard. You know, by the time I got to the end of this, it's like, all right, so what you're saying now is Netflix is going to be the name of the streaming. So you have a streaming company. They're two separate companies now. We're talking two separate billing records. I'm not paying one company for both streaming and DVDs, right? I'm paying two separate companies now, so I got to set that up. You know, two times the worries that someone's going to get hacked and my credit card numbers are going to be, you know, spilled out across the internet. It just didn't sit well with me. But I mean, I understand the business aspect of it. I have an MBA. I see where this was going now, and I want to say that, like, this is the part of the conversation where I can end my rant about what an awful idea this is and kind of change tack and go in a different direction and kind of explain why maybe it wasn't such a bad idea. But before I do that, I want to give somebody else a chance to complain.
Steve?
Yeah. As far as the whole split off that they've done, that actually prompted us to drop the DVD part. We're
really?
Just like, yeah, we,
so
well,
just streaming now.
Yeah, we just use the streaming now, because one, you can't get the latest movies anyway for the first month or so. It takes a while to get some of the latest ones that are coming out.
Yeah, really quick before you continue, what I found out, I actually found this up from our good friend Spada. Apparently, it takes, like, for Netflix to get a brand new, like say Redbox gets Black Swan in. In order for Netflix to get it, 28 days has to pass from the initial DVD release. Transformers: Dark of the Moon just came out as of 33 minutes ago. Netflix won't have that, or Redbox will not have that, or anything like that, until 28 days after the initial DVD release of, you know, people actually buying the DVD. So it takes Netflix a while to get new movies, like brand new movies.
Right. Well, this just opens up a nice opportunity for Redbox. I mean, yeah. I just started using Redbox.
I
almost as soon as they made the announcement, I went out and got a Redbox account.
Yeah. Continue, Steve. Sorry.
Well, I mean, we use Redbox too, but I mean, Blockbuster also, I mean, as much as I don't like them, they've dropped their prices of their one out at a time, which used to be $25 before Dish Network bought them out. And, like, right now for this month and next month, they've got it for $7.49, and then it's only for, like, the first month, and it goes up to $14. But you can go into the store and then swap it out as much as you want throughout the day. Whereas Netflix, you may get 2 to 3 discs a week if you're lucky for that Quickster. But I mean, and for Blockbuster, yeah, you just go in. So I mean, that's in that sense, it's nicer. But to me, it's not worth spending the extra $9 when I can spend a little over that, and I can get as many as I want for the month.
Yeah,
right.
At another pass at another place, and granted, Blockbuster doesn't have the streaming yet, which Blockbuster also gets more content to their stores than any of these other services. So I mean, it's going to be kind of a close battle once Blockbuster enters that streaming.
Yeah.
Like,
you
Netflix, know, but
I can't remember the last time I went into a Blockbuster brick and mortar store.
Well, what Steve is saying is that the difference between Netflix and the Blockbuster, like, or, not Netflix, the difference between Redbox and Blockbuster's blue boxes is that Redbox, you have to
wait still on some of them.
Well, you have to wait still on some of them, but you have to, like say you go on Netflix, Redbox's website. You go on there, you get your movies, you go to the kiosk, you pick them up. You have to then take them back to the kiosk, return them, and then go back home or stand there and order more. Whereas the blue boxes for Blockbuster, what Steve is saying is that if he and his wife go to the blue box and they get two movies at $1.05, $1.06 apiece, instead of going back to that blue box kiosk, they can actually go to a Blockbuster store that may be open, and they can exchange them there.
Well, that's not even using the blue box. Blue box, you can't exchange at the store.
Oh, you can't?
No, that's completely different.
Oh.
No, I'm saying you can rent it through their pass at their brick and mortar store. You can sign up for this media pass, which you can either rent games, movies, Blu-ray, any of that stuff, and get it for that set price, and then you just take the disc in and keep swapping them out every time.
Oh, okay.
I mean, granted, their prices, because we just went into them, are very comparable to Family Video now, so they're not that $5, $6 for a one disc, you know, rental.
Yeah.
So they have come down. So I mean, you're going to see a lot of people jump and ship back to Blockbuster because of them raising the prices and not saying, hey, you know, this is why we're doing it, blah, blah, blah. And I could have seen if, you know, they would have, you know, not only let people know, but not raised it at that high.
Because,
I mean, they basically doubled what people were paying before.
Yep.
And to me, it's not worth that. Because, like I stated before, I'm not going to do, you know, have to worry about if I'm going to get 2 to 3 discs a week. But most of the time, I got, like, one, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
Just depending on how fast they got it back out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's... I can kind of see why they did what they did. But on the other hand, that's why I just went ahead and canceled the disc service and just kept the streaming.
Now, for me, I've told the story before. All of my mail goes through a business address from where I'm living at this point in time, because this apartment building, neither the apartment managers or the postal service will fix the mailboxes. So no mail is actually delivered to my apartment complex because the mailboxes are broken. So I never had a use for the DVD service from Netflix. The streaming, I can wait for new releases. That's why I use Redbox when I want to, because if, say, X-Men First Class, Thor, and what else just came out? I guess we could say Dark of the Moon. You know, I could go to Redbox and get those right now or whenever, whereas Netflix, I would have to wait for them to be able to get the contracts and this, that, and the other thing. I use Netflix. I use Netflix streaming more for TV shows than I do for movies. I think right now the only movies I've watched on there the entire 3 or 4 or 5 months that I've had the service, Full Metal Jacket, Die Hard 1 and 2, and I think I started Demolition Man. I don't remember if I did or not, but I mainly use it for TV shows. But this price increase, and the fact, as Michael said, you're getting two different billing charges. That's just ridiculous. Well, see,
yeah, to me, that's kind of asinine, because I'm not signing up for two different services.
Yeah.
You know, leave it on one bill. I mean, there's literally no real reason to have to split it to a different company just to have the price increase.
Well, and again, I guess it's they want to create another brand. You know, kind of like MySpace is a part of Rupert Murdoch Industries. I know that's not a factual statement at this point in time, because obviously MySpace has been sold and dead. But, you know, where they say Quixtar, a Netflix company, it's kind of like saying Pixar is a part of the Walt Disney Company now. You know, so they want to create a new brand for the DVD service, and I can kind of see that, but at the same time, the name is kind of stupid.
It almost sounds like one of those pyramid scheme companies.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
I think there's a reason why the name is stupid, and I'll get into that later.
Honestly, I think what they're trying to do is dissuade people anyway from the discs and just say, hey, just do the streaming.
Yep. I mean, the streaming does have its advantages if you have an internet-connected television or an internet-connected Blu-ray player. You can watch them on your you can watch the streaming on your TV. You don't just have to sit at your computer and watch it. They have the mobile apps. You can watch it on your phone if that's the way you choose to. If you have a current-gen gaming system, PS3, Xbox, Wii, you know, you can watch it through that. So, I mean, the streaming isn't just for the internet-connected PC or Mac, so...
Right. No, you can connect to your consoles.
Yeah. You can connect to everything.
Yeah, through the Wii or the PS3, or if you've got a DVD player that'll handle that. My TV actually has Wi-Fi built in, so I can stream directly from my TV.
Awesome.
Yeah, so streaming is, it's not quite there yet, but it's getting there.
Yep. And again, for me, like I said, it's great that they have the deals in place for a lot of these old, like, I can watch almost every episode of Cheers, every episode of The Bill Cosby Show, Numbers, Angel, Stargate SG-1, Stargate Atlantis, Stargate Universe, all the Stargate things are on there for streaming. So, I mean, there's plenty of advantages for it, but if you're one of those people that just wants new movies, you're SOL on the streaming.
Right. Yep.
So, what else do we want to talk about these new news updates here for Netflix?
Well, I was going to basically go into why this isn't a bad idea.
Okay.
And why, yeah, basically, again, I was horrified when I first heard about this. I said, this is a horrible idea, and they're shooting themselves in the foot, and it's going to ruin their business, which doesn't make any sense. You know, they've, you know, basically built this business up for the last 10 years, and why would they suddenly destroy it?
Right.
Well, there's a reason. They're purposely trying to destroy it.
Okay.
That's what it comes down to. But there's a business reason for them to do this. Basically, you know, Reed Hastings has taken a look at the long-term outlook of DVD to home sales.
Mm-hmm.
And said, and you know, the writing on the wall here is that as internet bandwidth increases, and you know it's increasing everywhere, and soon we're going to have 4G speeds on everything. That's just lightning fast. Not just on phones, but everywhere.
Right.
As Netflix, the streaming company, makes more deals with content providers, you're going to get a lot more content. You're going to get a lot more, you know, the ratio of movies that I can DVD versus movies that I can stream are going to go from, you know, 4-1 to 1-1. We're going to be able to, you know, I'm not going to have 400 items on my queue, of which only 100 of them I can stream. It's going to be, I can stream everything. All of their content available on DVD will be streamable.
Right.
And probably within 5 to 10 years. So he's basically got 5 years to wean the public off of Quixtar, let's say. So he wants to get out of the mailing DVDs to people business. Netflix is spending an awful lot of money in postage. They're spending an awful lot of money in warehousing all these DVDs, the pull system.
The envelopes cost money.
Exactly. These red envelopes that everybody recognizes and loves to see in the mail cost a buttload of money.
Yep.
And there's an awful lot of overhead that goes into overhead costs. These are sunk costs that you have to pay all the time. And it's I don't want to say prohibitively expensive, because they've been doing it for 10 years and they've been doing it very, very well. They've got this down to a science, to the point where they're spending the least amount of money that they could. But it's still a lot of money. And when you look at streaming, you know, granted, there's a new set of costs. You have to pay for the servers, you have to pay for the bandwidth, et cetera, et cetera. But you're not paying postage. You're not paying printing costs. You're not paying DVD storage and warehousing and pull systems and all the rest of the overhead that goes into this. I mean, that can just be scrapped. And he'd like nothing more than to save all those costs and be able to put that money toward content deals on the streaming side.
Right.
So, you know, the only way he's going to be able to do this is if he kills off that direct-to-mail business. You know, and what's the best way to do that? Well, let's branch it off from the rest of our business, you know, and give it a dumb name that nobody's going to remember and most likely no one's going to want to use. And people like Steve are going to cancel their DVD altogether.
Well, and see, this is the thing, too. It also, by them splitting it off right now and moving people that have that service, it ensures that when that company goes bankrupt, it doesn't hurt Netflix.
Exactly. You can quietly shutter a company called Quixtar, but you're not going to be able to quietly shutter Netflix. That's been around for 10 years.
Right.
And that's hedging your bets, basically. So he's looking at the long term. He's saying 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, Netflix, the streaming company, is going to be what Netflix, the direct mail company, used to be, except without a buttload of overhead, and everything's done just through the internet, which, you know, for most people, they're going to get anyway. Almost all the other customers who would be getting DVDs in the mail are going to have the internet. And most likely, one of the, you know, they're going to have some type of streaming device, either be it a computer or a console game or a TV or a DVD player. Most DVD players have some type of streaming available now, except, you know, like the $10 ones you buy at Walmart nowadays. Within 5 years, even the $10 ones you buy at Walmart will be able to stream down Netflix. That's my prediction. Yeah, easily. So he's looking 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. He sees where his business is going to go. He sees that if he sticks with DVD by mail, that business is going to die in 5 years. And Blockbuster is going to be taking that streaming business. Or Redbox will be taking that streaming business. Well, Redbox won't, but Blockbuster might. You know,
yeah.
Amazon might be taking that streaming business. iTunes might be taking that streaming business. He doesn't want to lose that in 5 years. He sees, you know, the writing on the wall, and he's moving his core business, his new core business, moving that core business forward by killing the old business on purpose. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense.
Well, it makes perfect sense.
It didn't make sense. You know, to me, I'm like, what is he doing? He's shooting himself in the foot. This is horrible. Oh, my God. That's exactly what he's doing, and he's crazy like a fox.
But, I mean, you got to do it.
You got to do it. You got to put a bullet in the head of that direct-to-mail, you know, before, you know, he's just not going to let this drag out forever. 10 years from now, he's not going to be sending DVDs by mail to the last, you know, 5,000 stragglers.
Yeah.
Maybe there will be 5,000 stragglers, and for those people, they'll be Quixtar until he puts a bullet in the head of Quixtar. But, you know, until Quixtar becomes cost prohibitive, it'll stick around. But for right now, he's putting all of his eggs into that Netflix basket, into the streaming media basket. Because, again, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that's where the money's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll be first to market with the infrastructure in place already.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I understand it completely now that it's big, you know, now that I've read online, people who basically explain. I sent you guys a link on what I read first, and there's a couple other articles that I read that explained a little more. But
I'm trying to remember if it was you or if it was somebody else that either retweeted or tweeted that link to that comic book strip.
Yeah, I think I don't think it was me. I think it might have been somebody else. But I read the comic book strip about the McNetflix.
Yeah.
Or McNetwitch. And that,
yeah.
Really, that's kind of like, again, when I said in the beginning, it was the price change. And they're charging you more. And then it's like, okay, well, so you're charging me 30% more for my McNetwitch. All I want is a sandwich with extra mayo, you know? And they say, well, you know, we'll explain it in a week. And then you come back in a week and they say, well, guess what? We split up into two separate companies. So now you can get your hamburger bun here, but you have to go across the street to get the actual, you know, chicken to go in with your extra mayo. I mean, and that it was funny. It didn't address the root of the problem to me. And the root of the problem was, you know, why would they do this?
Yeah.
It's the underlying cause. It was funny though. And I think the guy ended up going across the street for his chicken patty.
So, yeah, for me, I'm just all about the streaming, so it doesn't really affect me. For those of you who are about both services, you know, sorry about your luck. Any final thoughts, Steve?
Other than it makes perfect sense what we're talking about, I mean, I don't really see any problem with it.
Yeah.
I see a problem with it. No, I shouldn't say that. As a consumer, I'm kind of pissed still. because I want to get my streaming and my DVDs from the same place at the same time on the same bill, 30% less than what they're charging me. As a consumer, again, you know, as a business analyst, I completely understand why they did what they did, even if they didn't explain it very well or in a timely manner.
Right.
But again, as a consumer, it's like, well, damn it. You know, and as far as I'm concerned, I don't think streaming is at the place now. It's not 5 years from now. It's where it's at now, and where it's at now is not satisfying me. I would most likely cancel my streaming if my wife would let me.
Okay, I have a mission for you.
Sure.
Between now and the next Transformation Animation podcast recording, I want you to actually look at a lot of the stuff that is on the streaming side and tell us next week if your opinion of streaming has changed, because there really is a lot on there.
Right. Well, I'm just going by what's in my queue. I've got 400 items in my queue.
Don't go by what's just in your queue, because you only have two damn things in your queue. Look at some of the genres, look at some of the categories on there, I've gone through and I've looked through a lot of the categories on there, a lot of the stuff on there, and as I've gone through and said, oh, hey, there's Demolition Man. Oh, hey, there's Die Hard or Terminator's on there. Or, you know, it's like, oh, wow, a lot of these cool things that I used to love watching and I might want to watch again. So,
right.
Oh, you have 1 week, sir, to explore stuff outside of your queue.
Oh, my queue's pretty massive. I don't know. Right. That's what she said.
Wow. All right. So we hope you enjoyed this episode of Geekcaster Radio. Wish you'll join us next time when we'll be starting the music spotlight with our parents' music. We'll be talking about music from the 60s and 70s. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Michael Wilson
and Steve Megatron Phillips.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay tuned for an ad from our sponsors.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register. You've just listened to Geekcast Radio on the Geekcast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at geekcastradio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.